I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Now, it's time to go inside the green room with Danny Green.
Hola, bienvenido a Inside the Green Room con Danny Green. Soy Harrison Sanford. Hoy los Warriors están lotando los Cavaliers. No. Y hablemos de los partidos de la Final Four hasta el fin de semana.
Almost got it.
A little
bit. That's smooth, kid. That's smooth, kid. Did you write that down somewhere? Or you just memorized?
Come on. Okay.
That's dope. Hey, you got some Spanish in you, bro. All you need is the accent, but at least people know what you're saying when you're talking to them.
We getting there. Can you translate that?
You said something about happening this weekend with the Cavaliers. I heard part of it. I didn't hear all of it.
The Warriors are the intro already. The Warriors are rolling. The Cavaliers are not. And we are going to discuss the Final Four games this weekend.
Okay, friend.
Talk about them. Yes. All right, let's go to the Warriors. Let's go to the Warriors first. Longest winning streak in the NBA. Five-game winning streak. They beat the Dallas Mavericks on Tuesday night. They look more comfortable in that last play-in spot, Danny. Jonathan Kuminga has not been in the lineup recently. Klay Thompson back in the starting lineup. Let me ask you a question. Put on your head coaching cap for me. If you were Steve Kerr, is Klay Thompson back in the starting lineup full time now?
Oh man, I think for sure test it out for a week without Kuminga being in there and see how it goes. For me, I always thought Klay was a starter. I thought the bench thing was a temporary thing. I think they left him there for way too long. Honestly, for me, he's always been a starter because I didn't think there was anybody else on the team that should have been playing ahead of him or starting ahead of him. Now he was getting good production off the bench, but he can do that in the starting lineup as well. He can play with the second group. You could micromanage your minutes to stagger guys to play with that group, and he could still be with that group and start. But for him to come off the bench every game didn't make sense to me. So they weren't a great team. They're a decent team this year. But I thought it was temporary. But I would personally keep him in the starting lineup. But if you think for team chemistry and that guys had a rhythm and you needed to keep it that way where he came off the bench, and for him, and if he prefers to come off the bench, cool. At some point, everybody has to, shift gears, right, and take it down and I should come off the bench. I don't think he's at that moment yet, mentally or physically. Maybe he is. That's up to him. It's conversation. But said for me personally, I would start him and keep him in the starting lineup.
Yeah, I think that's definitely the way to go. I think when they don't have him in the starting lineup, it makes to the point you made in our last episode. There's so much attention on Steph Curry, and you just want somebody out there that could be a threat. And yes, Jonathan Kuminga is a skilled basketball player for sure. But he doesn't offer too much spacing. So now you have two non-floor spaces out there with Draymond and Kuminga. And depending on who you have out there in center, Trayce Jackson-Davis, you could have three non-shooters out there. Or you have to start Draymond at the five. It's a little bit tricky. I think having Klay out there allows their offense to flow a little bit better. And you just hope that Klay plays at the best to his ability. All right, let's move on to the Cleveland Cavaliers. And it's not so sunny in Cleveland right now. Even though they won Tuesday night against the Utah Jazz, without Donovan Mitchell, it was the Utah Jazz. Previously, before that, they had lost the game where Donovan Mitchell was very upset. He told the reporter, it's it's freaking, lack of a better phrase, it's freaking April. He was not happy. And then Dan Gilbert, the team owner, came out and said very confidently that he believes that Donovan Mitchell is going to sign the contract extension that's available to him this offseason. That's where I don't believe him for a number of factors. Number one, the Cavaliers are not playing good basketball and they very well could be upset in the first round, if you want to call it an upset. And number two, if Donovan Mitchell decides to sign a contract extension this offseason, it wouldn't make too much financial sense. If I was Donovan Mitchell, I play out my last year and then I wait to free agency in the summer of 2025 when what happens? The new NBA rights TV deal comes in.
Bigger contract.
That contract could be so much more worth the money. I think the Cavaliers are in a world of problems because if Donovan Mitchell goes into next season without a contract extension, you already know, Danny, load up the trade machine because you damn sure can't lose Donovan Mitchell for nothing.
For nothing.
It's a big time postseason for the Cleveland Cavaliers. And as Donovan Mitchell said, it's freaking April, and they're not operating at a high level. Your response?
I mean, I'm with you on that, man. It's 50-50, honestly, for Donovan. I don't think he knows. I think he has more of an idea than we do, or he lets it out to be. But I said with Cleveland, it depends on how their playoffs go. He wants to win. You know, he's a competitor. He wants to obviously play well individually. He wants to do and be able to play his game. But ultimately, he knows he's going to get paid. He knows he could pretty much get paid anywhere. But he wants to win games. And if he don't think he can do that in Cleveland, and right now it's not showing that. They did get a win against Utah the other night, which is not that big of a – but he's been out. He has had injuries. I don't know how well pleased he is with the front office or coaching staff. They did make some moves to get him pieces. Those pieces haven't really made a big jump for them. They are good pieces, but they haven't made a big jump in their group this season. But we'll see how they perform in the playoffs. And I think he's waiting to see that too, himself, how, with positions they put him in. How the coach staff does, how well they play. Even if they lose, he'll know if this is like a good situation for him to be able to survive, not survive, but win moving forward. If things change in the East, all right, this is a group I can build with. If he doesn't feel that, then he's gone. And like I said, you can't lose him for nothing. I don't see him sign an extension right now anyway. So it makes more sense to wait, get the more money when everything goes up. So it's going to be – Cleveland's in an interesting – they're in a space, man. They're in a space where they have some decisions to be made within the next 6 months or so.
A lot of eyes on the Cleveland Cavaliers and a lot of eyes on the Los Angeles Clippers this offseason, who have James Harden and Paul George. Paul George has a player option for next year, but you know, with his injury history, might elect to try and get a contract extension like Kawhi Leonard did. And obviously James Harden heading to free agency as well. Those are two teams that I'm keying on for this postseason. A lot can change for them and a lot can change for the Minnesota Timberwolves as well. We'll talk about them in the next segment. But before we get to our big topic, let's talk about Los Partidos, the Final Four, El Fin de Semana. Final four games this weekend.
Yes,
who
sir.
Do you think pulls it off? We got UConn taking on Alabama. And then we also have on the other side of the bracket, you have NC State taking on Purdue. When it's all said and done by Monday night, Danny, who's cutting down the nets?
UConn, bro. I think we both know this. The way they've been smacking teams left and right, top teams left and right. I think that first game, I think they're going to make a statement this year. Hopefully, Alabama can give them a run out. I'm looking to see that matchup between Grant Nelson and Donovan Clingan. Should be a good one. Should be a fun one. They just don't have the guard play to match up. Sears is really good, but the rest of that team, I don't know if they can match up with UConn's, like at all aspects, all angles UConn can score from and play from and defend. They're just really good. I don't see anybody beating them. NC State, Cinderella story is great, but it ends here. I think Purdue is probably going to get them. It's going to be Purdue and UConn in the finals and the championship game. And you said Zach Edey versus Donovan Clingan. It's going to be good. But the guard play, once again, UConn is going to be outmatch them. So I can see that being a blowout as well. They're going to win both of these games by 15-plus points. I can see that happening.
The UConn Invitational. It might very well be the South Carolina Women's Invitational as well. They will take on NC State in the Final Four in the women's game. And then the big-time matchup will be focused in on Caitlin Clark in Iowa taking on Paige Beckers and the UConn Lady Huskies. I think we both believe that South Carolina is going to win. So let's just do a prediction. Who do you think wins between Iowa and UConn? Beckers versus Caitlin Clark.
That's going to be a tough one, man. Beckers has a lot to prove coming off that injury. I do like what she brings to the table and how she bounced back and came back. Iowa's on a big, you know, rolling emotional wave right now. I could see that being a disadvantage for them. I could see them being very high, beating LSU. And I'm not saying that I can see UConn taking advantage of that and them not being ready. Not saying being ready, but they think they won that. Beating LSU for them was a national championship game. And not saying they let their guard down. It's kind of like Indiana in the play-in tournament, how Lakers were in the play-in tournament. Once you make that big win, it's hard to get your
IST.
It's hard to refocus. Yeah, the in-season tournament. So I could see that being a factor in this. I could see UConn winning this game, even though everybody wants to see Caitlin Clark. Everybody wants to see Iowa State advance. I see them going home. I see UConn playing
South Carolina.
Yeah, Dawn Staley. I could see them obviously winning it, but I don't see it being a close game. I see UConn and South Carolina being in a really close one, a national championship. But I do see Iowa. Everyone see Iowa win, but for some reason, I think the people don't get what they want this year. And seeing Caitlin Clark getting a national championship, even though I would like to see her win one.
What a story that would be if somehow Caitlin Clark takes down UConn, which has been known as the power of women's college basketball for decades now, takes down the old power, and then potentially takes down the new power in South Carolina and finishes her career with a national championship, already being the all-time leading scorer in NCAA, not just men's, but women's as well, the all-time leading scorer in women's college basketball history. It would be quite a story. I'm rooting for it. We will see what happens, and we will talk about that next week when we return on Inside the Green Room. But coming up after the break, Danny and I, with the playoffs coming up oh so close, are going to rank our top five title contenders in the National Basketball Association. Stay tuned. Be right back.
Shit.
Welcome back to Inside the Green Room with Danny Green. I'm Harrison Sanford. If you are following us on Twitter, make sure you follow us on Instagram, on Twitter, Green Room Inside, on Instagram, Inside Green Room. If you're watching us on YouTube, you could also listen to us on your podcast app and vice versa. Let's get into our top five title contenders for the NBA Finals. Number one, Danny, my number one overall contender, it has to be the Denver Nuggets. Nikola Jokic is operating at a high level. Just hope that Jamal Murray is going to be healthy for the stretch run, because they are definitely going to need him. That two-man game is the most lethal two-man game that we have in the National Basketball Association. The efficiency at which they run their offense on a consistent basis, the IQ of Jokic is undeniable. That is team number one for me. Team number two, and this one will come as a surprise to many, the Minnesota Timberwolves. I absolutely love how they play defense. I love the inside defensive presence of Rudy Gobert. If you look at how Anthony Edwards played last year in the playoffs, 30 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, I think he can only get better. And if you look at how the Minnesota Timberwolves played in the playoffs last year against the Denver Nuggets, it's not a question, y'all. The Minnesota Timberwolves gave them the biggest challenge to the Denver Nuggets in last year's playoffs. It's not close. And last year, they didn't have Naz Reid. And last year, they also did not have, who was the other guy they didn't have? Jaden McDaniels. They have both of them back now, and there's a chance Karl Anthony Towns also returns. They have a good roster, a good defensive roster, and a star. And I think Anthony Edwards is going to shine. And let's not forget, they just beat them a couple of days ago easily in Denver. Team number three, the Boston Celtics. Easily going to have home court advantage in the Eastern Conference. I'm worried about their reliance upon the three-point shot, but they're the only team in the Eastern Conference that has showed any type of consistency throughout the course of the season. You have to give them the nod over any other team in the Eastern Conference. Team number four, coming as a shocker to everybody, the Los Angeles Lakers. It's LeBron. It's Anthony Davis. Will the road be difficult? Oh, yes, it will be. But who's prepared for that more than LeBron and AD? It's a lethal combination when you get into a seven-game series. The Lakers don't have one head coach. They have two head coaches, because we know how LeBron James can dissect the team. And don't let them mess around and get the Oklahoma City Thunder in the first round, because they will win that series, because OKC is young and they don't know how to rebound. So, number one, I have the Denver Nuggets. Number two, I have the Minnesota Timberwolves. Number three, I have the Boston Celtics. Number four, I have the Los Angeles Lakers. And Danny, at my number five spot, I can't believe I'm going to say this because right now they look so bad and there's worry about Kawhi Leonard and his knee.
Yep.
But the Los Angeles Clippers, if they get their shit together, can definitely win an NBA Finals because they have an NBA Finals MVP in Kawhi Leonard. They have an NBA Finals head coach in Ty Lue. And when James Harden is not your first, not your second, but your third option, if him scoring 20 points is a bonus, you are in trouble. But man, do they have to get it together. And notice, Danny, those are my top five teams, and only one team from the Eastern Conference could I put in there because I don't know what the hell's going to happen in the East. The Knicks are hurt. The Cavaliers are struggling. What will Joel Embiid look like? The Heat don't know how to score. The Magic don't know how to score. I don't know what the hell happened to the Pacers. There's no team in the Eastern Conference that I could rely upon outside of the Boston Celtics. And, oh, yes, the Milwaukee Bucks, who don't know how to guard on the perimeter and thought they made a big change with Doc Rivers. However, they're just a 500 team since the All-Star break or since Doc Rivers became the head coach. You can't rely on anybody in the East. So those are my five, y'all. Now, one more time. Number one, Denver Nuggets. Number two, Minnesota Timberwolves. Number three, Boston Celtics. Number four, Los Angeles Lakers. Number five, Los Angeles Clippers. What you got, Danny?
Solid, solid. But mine's going to go in a different order, my friend. Number one, I'm going to go with the Boston Celtics at number one. I think they've been the most consistent team throughout the league, not just the East, but the league. Denver has a lot of up and downs. And with injuries of Jamal Murray in and out, they are a contender, of course, but they're my number two. So I got Boston Celtics ahead of them. Denver at number two. And as much as I like OKC, because I want to give them more respect and some flowers this year, I'm going to go with Minnesota at number three. They played Denver the best, but even though they matched up with them the best last year and they played them well, OKC is 3-1 against them this year. That's why I have Shea as my MVP. He's 3-1 against them. He's played more games, but they're just not ready. So if the Lakers get them, I don't have Lakers in my top five. Sorry. So I got one, Boston Celtics, two, Denver Nuggets, three, the Minnesota Timberwolves. Four. This is tough, man. I don't know. I can't pick another East. There's no other Eastern team. The last two are just up in the air. But at number four, I'm going to go with the Los Angeles Clippers. I'm going to go with the Los Angeles Clippers. So they have enough pieces to get it done. They're a contender for sure. In the West, I don't see anybody else that is going to, to me, has been consistent enough. Obviously, I want to put Bron and Lakers and AD in there because they are experience and they had a good run last year, but they have Vando hurt, they have Gabe Vincent hurt, they have Cam Reddish in and out, like, you know, Torian Prince, all those guys. They picked up Spencer Dinwiddie. They're still trying to figure out how to play, and their group is good, but I just can't see them doing or being in a contention. I have to put another East Coast team in there, and if I'm gonna pick a team, I'm gonna go with the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, even though
it feels like a default.
It's not a default. The last two are by default, honestly, because the Clippers are not what they were before All-Star break. They haven't been the same. Neither was Milwaukee, even though they had Adrian Griffin. So both of those teams are contenders to me because you just don't know what's going to happen in the East. They come out of the East, it can be anything. Once you get to the finals, it's a toss-up. I just don't think they can win it, but they can get to the finals because the East is so open, especially with injuries, coaching-wise. Boston needs to mature. And in the West, it's just Denver, Minnesota. And then the Clippers are said by default. Really, Denver, Minnesota are the only two teams that I like the most. But that's my five. Number one, Boston. Yes. Number two, Denver. Number three, Minnesota. Number four, Clippers. Number five, Milwaukee Bucks.
Yeah, it's tough sledding. So it's clear to you and I that it's Boston, Minnesota, Denver. Those they're in a class of their own. Picking up the chips. All right. Well, with that being said, make sure you guys tune in. It's a busy time of the year for Danny and myself. I'll be on ESPN all weekend, Saturday night and Sunday night. Make sure you catch Danny with Yahoo Sports during this Final Four weekend, and also catch him on True TV on Thursday as he will be doing a betcast. Busy times. Stay tuned with us. We'll be back next week. Peace.
Read, subscribe, review. Read, rate, subscribe, review. Sorry.
There we go.